T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I may not be the kind of guy who's every girl's cup of tea. I'll never be a romantic lead in a movie that you'd see. But there's one thing I can do, and I do it perfectly. I'll love you the best of all. I'll never be a rich man in a long black limousine, or hang out at the golf course with those masters on the green. But if you let me be your only beau, I'll never treat you mean. No, I'll love you the best of all. Now, some gals, they weep and cry, can't sleep a wink. They moan and sigh for some joker who has torn their dreams apart. Why they do, I'll never know, 'cause I'm the kind of Joe who love you good right from the very start. You can catch a falling star or win the lottery. You can do lunch with the president and have a talk show on TV. But if you never have all that, you know you'll still have me. I'll love you the best, forget the rest. I'll love you the best of all.
I don't know, I just feel so much happier now. It is 9:10, and that is a man I have known for over 30 years.
I believe
Joe
so.
Joe Demko is in studio with us tonight. How are you?
I'm beat. I'll tell you, I'm sending you greetings now from Mr. Bruce Henry, who says hello. I played a gig with him last night. We got done.
My goodness.
I got in bed about 2 in the morning.
I know that was a smoking gig,
and
though.
And it was 3 hours, no stops. And, of course, Gwen was on the gig.
Of course.
The roof was lifted off.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm kind of toasted.
Well, here's the thing. Is there a genre of music that you have never done? Is it hip-hop? Or did you do some of that last night?
No, we have some hip-hop in the book for that thing. Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
So is there any genre you haven't tackled?
Well, this current project that I'm doing now, Radio Joe and the Jazz Bows, is a thing that I wanted to tackle way back in 77 when I got out of the Wolverines Classic Jazz Orchestra, who I was one of the founding members of that.
You were?
Yes, in 1973. We started out as a Django Reinhardt swing band.
Wow.
And then we morphed into a 20s and 30s jazz band. And of course, they said, well, you're the guitar player. We're going to make you play banjo. Plus, you got to sing. And here's what you're going to sing. So they handed me, I had a Cab Calloway record from his 1930s, 28 to 30s stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we studied that. And we wrote the charts, transcribed the charts from the records. And played and started playing gigs. And people went, 20s and 30s? Why are you doing that in the 70s?
Yeah.
But it caught on. And we ended up playing downtown here at Scotty's on 7th. Had a run down there. And one night, Benny Goodman comes in.
Oh, my goodness.
And Benny comes up to me and he says, where'd you get the charts? at the moment he asked me that, we were playing a song that I'd transcribed, which was from the Fletcher Henderson collection. Now, you might remember this. Fletcher Henderson was the guy who did Benny Goodman's book. So Benny thought we got into his library somehow.
Yeah,
I said, Benny, no, we transcribed that off of 78, slowed it down half speed and figured out what they were playing. He said, okay, I'll be back tomorrow night. The next night, Benny Goodman comes in the door, a blonde on each arm, searchlight, out of a limo, and says, ladies and gentlemen, this band is going to play the inaugural ball for Carter Mondale. What do you think?
Was he kidding?
No, we played the Wolverine's Classic Jazz Orchestra, played the inaugural ball for Carter Mondale.
Shut up.
So that was sort of the zenith of that band for me. And then, of course, Manhattan Transfer, and those styles came in a la More by Four.
Yeah.
Right. So I had studied the 20s and 30s, but I'd never really gotten a handle from 30 onward. Mm-hmm. And from 30 onward, you had guitar greats like Charlie Christian, who were really smoking up the jazz scene in Benny Goodman's quintet. So as I got out of the Wolverines, I thought, well, you know, I'd really like to do this. But, of course, you know, the economics of the music business, you have to do what makes money. So I was on the road with other bands. I was in the Willie and the Bees.
You went to Russia with women who cook. I mean,
the first time I played music with you,
I
played guitar, and you said, what are we going to do? And we were standing in the Hotel Rocia. In
it
the lounge.
It was the largest hotel in the world at the time.
It was. Yeah, and they've since knocked it down, by the way.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, it's gone.
Wow.
But that, I think she said, what are we going to play? I said, how about Kansas City and G? And you said, play. So we did. I remember doing that.
I don't even remember you that.
Oh,
amazing,
no. I remember
dude.
It well. I remember it well because I was recovering from that bad, not USDA chicken that I'd eaten in Sochi. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Do you remember? It was rough. But I have to admit, you've done a little bit of everything. Either you're on the stage performing and singing and playing, or you're behind the scene, you know, backstage, holding up and putting the whole show together, making sure everything is going well.
You
like to call yourself the laid back, old school crooner.
Well, with this current project, the idea was, I'd sort of gotten it in my head, and I bet you've been through this too. Mm-hmm. I looked at my guitar playing life and my singing life, and I went, why do I do this?
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
And I thought, what's the thing I most enjoy about being a musician, about being a singer? And I thought, well, you know, if I'm singing a ballad and people slow dance, that's magic. That is, to me, the epitome. I don't even care if I get paid at that point because I'm enjoying the connection of being the performer with the audience doing their thing, feeling that same love. And so
By the way, that's one of the things my sister has said to me many times. I don't know where she heard it from or if she came up with that.
But yeah.
She says, you know, whatever you do, it ought to be your joy, not your job.
It to me, that is really the thing I look for when I do performance. So I put together Radio Joe and the Jazz Bows to kind of find a way both into learning how to play that jazz from 1928 to 1962 and also to write some songs that would allow me to get into that space. You know, we're using all...
To write some songs?
To write some songs.
So you're
song.
Doing some original music.
Well, the last song I played just certainly wasn't original.
Oh, wow.
And I've certainly got...
I loved it, by the way.
Thank you very much. It was kind of like, I like to try to do that as Jimmy Durante.
Is that on the album?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And tell us the name of the album.
Well, this is called Radio Joe and the Jazz Bows Live.
Okay.
And we recorded that at the Minneapolis Eagles Club. And it's basically, you know how we do it these days. We got to give away something to get something. So this is a way for me to introduce club owners and stuff to this very odd band that I put together, which is stand-up bass, vibraphone,
right,
drums, and guitar. And I'm the guitar singer, and I'm the only singer, which is nice because...
Well, they holler out a few things. I'll watch some videos.
Yeah, it's been a really great learning experience to find my way into that jazz idiom that you know how we do it as musicians. You learn it as you're doing.
But there's an audience for you. There's obviously an audience for you. You guys have played a lot.
We played a lot.
Because you guys came together, a year and a half ago?
Oh, no. This has been a five-year project.
This has been a five-year project?
Oh, yeah. No, I started this about 8 years ago. I was doing it as a solo in coffee houses, and I realized this jazz is too hard to play solo. I'm going to have to get some other players.
So Radio Joe and the Jazz Bows.
Right.
Radio Joe and the Jazz Bows. They are going to be at Lee's Liquor Lounge on Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
Because you guys are busy. You look at your calendar. You guys are all over the place. And then Saturday, you'll be at the AFL-CIO booth at the Minnesota State
Fair.
The union booth, right?
And we've been there for, I think this is year six now there. Yeah, we started with them.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
So where do you see this band, this group, and yourself in 6 years? Not 5 years, 6 years.
6 years.
Yeah.
It would be nice to be doing all original material and some theatrical work. It'd be nice to be doing small theaters and introducing the concept that the history of American music is the history of black music in America. This music that I'm studying, when I'm studying Charlie Christian, he was the black jazz guitar player that went on stage with Benny Goodman at the town hall. That had never happened before in race relations and music.
Town hall at that point in New York.
That's right.
Wow.
That had never happened before. So I am studying the greats of those days. Sammy Davis Jr., what an incredible entertainer.
Yeah.
I'm studying
that
stuff.
And that's one thing I would say about you. I would say that you are an incredible entertainer. I've told you that before.
Yeah, well,
that I love
it
to watch
takes
you
one
perform,
to know one, and I've seen
you. But I love to watch you perform.
Well, thank
and
you.
It's been a long time since I've seen you perform. And I, every time I see you, I used to say to you, so you are still singing, right?
Yes, oh yeah.
Because a lot
of
times I would see you playing, but I didn't hear you singing.
Well, you know, I spent many years as a sideman, and it's a good place to be. You don't have to call the bar owner.
Right.
You don't have to book the engagement.
Right.
You don't have to, you know, there's so much you don't have to do. So playing with a wonderful dance band like Bruce Henry's is a great opportunity because he's a great singer, for one. And, you know, he says,
and that book
I
is going to be a little bit of everything.
The book
so you
is
still
huge.
Get a chance to do what you love.
Well, it's pop. A
yeah.
lot of that music is current pop. I mean, we're playing It's a Beautiful Day by U2. So,
yeah, but the song you just sang is pop.
This is pop.
From a different era.
This would be what we call classic pop in the old school sense of the word. Yeah. So
and I'm a pop queen. I mean, I love pop music.
You know,
so that works for me.
Yeah.
And of course, in the audience that you had last night, I'm sure that Bruce Henry, that audience was from, you know, probably 25 to 75.
Yeah, that was huge. The stuff, the people that follow my band are the swing dance crowd. So at Lee's, the dance thing starts at 8 with Bill and Shannon doing the dance lesson, and then the band hits at 9, so the people that are learning how to swing dance for the first time get to practice through the whole night. So that's a whole scene. So at the Eagles Club, which I play once a month, that we have a crowd of, say, 25 to 35 swing dancers that always follow the band, and they're great dancers to work for. You know, so it's basically a dance band that I'm now sort of morphing into my next phase of this band, which is going to be, my next record will be all original material in this vernacular.
Now, we've got a couple of songs that have been recorded by you. And Unforgettable is one that I want us to listen to. I had a chance to listen to it online. Oh. And we come back on the other side of what we listen to. I want to ask you about whether or not the group is going to grow, or are you thinking about keeping it the way it is? Let's take a listen.
That's one, darling. It's incredible that someone's so unforgettable. Things that I am unforgettable to.
It is now 9:20 here at WCCO, and I am in studio visiting with someone I've known for a long time. His name is Radio Joe, but I know him as Joe Dimko, and he's really quite a performer. I encourage you to get out to Lee's Liquor Lounge and check him out on Wednesday of this week, Wednesday, at Lee's Liquor Lounge. Or if you miss him at the Liquor Lounge, then go on Saturday at the AFL-CIO booth at the Minnesota State Fair. If you're there, it's called the Union Space, and just go over and check him out. Will you guys be out on that?
We're out on the plaza,
right there
on Dan Patch.
What time do you start?
That'll be a 5 to 7 gig. So
okay,
if you're going to
seven.
If you're going to the grandstand show, you can make that right after seeing us. Come on down. That'll be great. At Dan Patch and Cooper right there on the corner.
That's right. And, of course, Lee's Liquor Lounge. Where is
at
what
101
time is that?
Glenwood Avenue.
Yep, yep.
The dance lesson starts at 8.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
There's a dance lesson?
Of course.
Wow.
For your swing dancers.
So that's a swing dancer.
So it's a
about.
Social musical experiment.
Okay.
Let's call it that.
Are you going to be out there swinging?
I'll be warming up downstairs.
I want video.
I'll be warming up downstairs. And then the band hits at 9. A $5 cover. Cheap. Cheap. Very cheap. And, so we've got a couple dates at the fair, and then we're back at the Eagles Club, our usual stop. And you were asking about
Where do you see yourself in 6 years?
Where do you go?
Yeah, yeah.
The thing for me is the songwriting. To find a way into this vernacular as a songwriter is a different thing than as a performer of other people's music, because as a songwriter, you're looking to find that melody, that harmony, those lyrics that speak to people in a personal way. And if I'm going to make that connection as an artist, it has to be through the original music. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stretch my wings as a songwriter, and work on that more, you know, when you're, you know what songwriters get to do during the daytime.
Oh, let's hear it.
They get to mow the lawn and walk the dog and take out the garbage.
Yeah.
And then when they got some time at late at night, they can open the book and they can say, hey, what was I working on? Oh, yeah. That song.
You've had some really great experiences in your life. And has it turned out the way you thought it would? Did it surprise you how your life has turned out so far?
At this point,
when it comes to music, it comes to your gift?
At this point, it's not really a surprise, no. Because I've always been, on some level, a songwriter. I may have been the, you know, the backup guy in the band. I may have been the guy loading the gear. I may have been the guy at the TV station hooking up a microphone for you. But what I really tend to work with is finding that song. You know, when we started out, the hit songs of the day, we all remember those.
Yeah, yeah.
So finding a way into songwriting as a classic jazz writer is a different sort of angle. And I wanted to try that because, you know, there's so many great musicians and so many great writers.
Yeah.
So you have to find what you think is going to fit. And with that early Wolverines sort of training, mm-hmm. I thought, you know, where I really need to study is that swing jazz idiom and those novelty songs that people don't really remember
and
anymore.
You have some of those novelty songs on this CD.
So if you come to Lee's.
Yeah, yeah. You'll see the CD will be on sale, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I only sell that off the stage.
Okay.
I only sell it off the stage.
Radio Joe and the Jazz Bows live.
If you come to Lee's and you don't know how to swing dance, you can do the Hokey Pokey because I'm going to play that too.
You're going to play the Hokey Pokey?
Absolutely.
Shut up.
I love that song because it swings like crazy at the end.
Oh, my gosh.
It swings like crazy at the end. Are you kidding? And
right.
That's the thing for me. So in the band, we have Bruce Wintervold on vibraphone.
Mm-hmm, yes.
We have the famous Keith Boyles on stand-up bass and Tony Guicetti on drums.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, the vibraphone is really the thing that makes it swing. Lionel Hampton was the vibraphone player for Benny Goodman.
Yeah.
So that sound is the thing that really drives it. There's lots of swing bands out there, but they're mostly rockabilly bands.
Yeah.
This is a different angle.
You were mentioning that about Unforgettable when we played a little bit of that.
Absolutely.
It's the vibes that make it, right?
It's the vibes that give you that
vibe.
Suddenly we're in 1936.
Yeah, right.
And Nat King Cole songs are, what a penultimate songwriter and singer and piano player.
What was the
amazing
word? Did you
penultimate
say penultimate?
I learned that from Kathy Werzer.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, penultimate. And
I gotta look that one up.
Okay.
We have learned a new word.
Well,
you know that what that means?
I
oh see
no
Jonathan
idea.
Knows.
Well, Jonathan's hip, you know.
Well, you know.
Yeah, he's happening.
That's, you know, he's many things, but hip he would not say.
Okay, fine. So anyway, wherever we were, the vibe sound, Mr. Wintervold does a great job giving us that old jazz feel that lets you drop into that 1930s vibe.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm going to have you on for like an hour because you are just a walking encyclopedia, first
well,
of all.
And
I can really tell that, you know, doing your research and falling into where you believe you were always meant to be is where
right.
you are right now. And that's very cool. And that's unusual for people. A lot of people have a hard time with that. So I want to remind our listeners that Wednesday at Lee's Liquor Lounge, you got to come down and check them out.
Come on, check it out.
And then Saturday at the Union Building, the AFL
CIO booth
always
fun, because that's people walking by.
At the Minnesota State Fair. And then go online and check them out. Just go to Radio Joe
and the Jazz Bows,
which is B-O, B as in boy, O-S, jazzbows.com. Go to their website and check out their calendar so you know where you can check them out. And, of course, pick up the CD if you get a chance. How much is a CD?
Oh, you know, it depends on what they got in their pocket.
You thinking about it?
It depends on what they got in their pocket.
You are terrible.
Oh, no.
Joe, by the way, thank you so much for joining us today.
For
really
you,
appreciate it.
Anytime.
I'm going to call on you.
Okay.
Want to say thank you so much to Chanhassen Dinner Theaters for presenting Center Stage tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We encourage you to get out and really go see some great shows. Grease is happening at the Chanhassen Dinner Theaters now through October 28th. All you have to do is just go to ChanhassenDT for dinnertheater.com. It's a great place. Have fun, have dinner, have drinks, and just enjoy yourself. I also want to tell you about Livin' La Vida Lutheran. Yeah, that's the name of the show, Livin' La Vida Lutheran. Lutheran, is through October 21st at Plymouth Playhouse. I think that's a hilarious title. That would get me in the door, Jonathan. I just think that's a great one.
How dare they take sacrilege over a sacred Ricky Martin.
Don't mention his name. Oh, my gosh. We'll be singing the song. A Guardians of Fallacy Executive Disorder is still playing at the Brave New Workshop through October 28th, so don't forget about that. Also, when it comes to upcoming concerts, Jovita and Geraldine Steele will be at the Dunsmore Room at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club in Fridley. Oh, my gosh. This is September 25th. We've never, ever played there before, and I love the Dunsmore Room. Had a chance to go hear a show in this, and I really hope you guys will come out and support us. It's only about 80, 85 seats in there, so all you have to do is go to croonersloungemn.com, I believe it is, to get tickets. Also, Lady Gaga is at XL Center tomorrow night. Nope, won't be there. Tim McGraw and Faith Hill are Friday and Saturday at the XL Energy Center. Nope, won't be there. 2 Chainz, Friday at the Palace Theater. Brad Paisley, Friday at Treasure Island Casino. Maybe. Oh, and Music in the Zoo, Gregory Allen Isakoff. Isakoff. I have to get that right. Isakoff. Tuesday is 5 for Fighting on Friday. Yes, did I get it right? Gregory Allen Isakoff on Tuesday and 5 for Fighting on Friday. All right, Minnesota State Fair also begins coming up. You don't want to miss that at the fair. Nickelback is on Thursday. Stevie Nicks on Friday. Jim Gaffigan on Saturday. Toby Keith on Sunday. And then, of course, I just have to remind you one more time, Jovita and Geraldine Steele with Garrison Keillor on September 1st at the Grandstand. Woo! We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
By day, he works for Fox Sports North, but at night, he turns into a musician. He has a show on Thursday at the Minnehaha Falls Bandshell and 3 separate dates at the Crepe Booth. Is that correct?
The French Crepes.
French Crepes Booth at the Minnesota State Fair starting on Friday. You know the great get-together is happening, so he is in studio with me, local singer, guitarist, and media guy, Jim Pellinger.
That's right. Hi, how are you?
Hey, now, well, I don't think we've ever met before.
No, and I'm just stunned to be here with you because you're so talented. All you Steels are so great.
Oh, thank you, man. Oh. Well, you know, Jimmy was telling me about you, and to have you in studio, knowing that you're going to be at the State Fair. First of all, are you ready?
Oh yeah.
Because that's a whole nother mindset.
It is. The toughest part is getting there. You know,
it took me 2 hours last year to get to a thing I was doing out there. 2 hours from North Minneapolis.
Oh, my God. Where did you park?
I finally found a space. I was driving around and around and around, and then I went to someone and said, I'm only going to be in here like an hour. Can I just park here? And they let me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but it was a very nice person. They said, please don't ever ask again. So there you go. All right. First of all, tell me a little bit how you got here to be a musician when by day you're doing something else, and like so many of us, by night, you just turn into a musician. Is this something you believe you were meant to be?
Well, I've just always done it. You know, it's just something that I've always played music. I've always wanted to play music. And in spite of all the odds, you know, how it is when you're a musician, I just keep going. So when I don't have any gigs, I'm not happy. So
yeah,
I need to do it.
Your bio in 50 words. It says, with songs ranging from the personal to the political and everywhere in between, singer-songwriter Jim Pellinger has performed for audiences throughout the Upper Midwest. An energetic solo performer, singer, and talented guitarist, Jim's shows lie somewhere between a rocker and an acoustic guitar and a folky with a Stratocaster?
Yeah, a Fender Stratocaster. Yeah, somewhere between there. I've always kind of, because I perform solo by myself, everybody looks at you and says, well, you're a folk singer. And I've always sort of fought that, but I'm starting to come to grips with it. So
it's difficult to do solo performances, although we love it.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's harder than having a band?
I think bands are hard. Bands are hard to get people together, get everybody on the same page.
Your own schedule.
Practice schedules, things like that.
You don't have to worry about any of that. So how long have you been doing this?
I did my first solo performance in 1980.
Wow.
So I'm old.
Well, that makes me old, too.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, it's better than the alternative, right?
Exactly. So here you are playing all of these performances that are coming up at the State Fair. And you say to yourself, I know that I can depend on this every year. I mean, have they been bringing you to the State Fair for many years?
I've been. I haven't counted the years. I'm guessing it's been about maybe 8 years.
About eight
something
years.
Something like that.
That's pretty cool. So you really do establish some of those relationships that are important. And that repeat business is important in all of our lives when it comes to musicians, right?
Absolutely.
So the political songs that you do, can you give us a little tease of something? Or if you don't feel like doing political, you can do something else. But I want to hear political.
All right, that's going to make me nervous here. This is kind of a new one. This is not anywhere. I don't know if you want me to do the whole song, but I'll just give you
No, just about a minute.
Okay, this is called Good Morning, Fraulein Goebbels.
Good morning, Fraulein Goebbels. Are you going for a laugh? I get a different figure when I stop and do the math. It's almost like we live in two different worlds. Good morning, Fraulein Goebbels, are you going for a laugh? I get a different figure when I sit and do the math. It's almost like we live in two different worlds. But if you say it over and over and over, if you say it over and over and over, if you say it over and over and over, someone will believe you. Someone will believe you.
It's sort of like that.
I had a man tell me that one time. He said, if I tell you I love you three times, you'll believe me. I said, never will happen. He said, but if I keep telling you over and over and over again, I promise you, you'll believe it.
Yeah.
Do you believe those words?
I think it's been proven to be true in some cases. You're taking me down the political path here.
You should run for office, dude. That was a great answer. Okay. When you perform songs like that, you know, are the people standing around laughing? Or are they going, is he serious?
Well, I haven't played that one that much yet. That one's kind of like right out of the oven. So
We got a taste of a new one.
Might drag that one out somewhere. I think I played it once at a place in my neighborhood, and people kind of went, okay. But it was all right.
CDs?
That one's not on a CD.
Okay.
But
how many CDs do you have since 1980? Albums, should say.
Oh, boy. Probably not many. I'm not terribly prolific, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of a DIY guy.
Okay.
I do my recordings.
Do everything of course.
What you heard there on Promise You, I played everything on it, the drums, the bass, the guitars, the vocals.
But when you perform.
When I perform, my CDs are overproduced and my performances are underproduced.
And why do you do that?
Bands are hard. But why do I do that?
Your fans come since 1980. They come to see you as a solo performer.
Yeah.
And then when you record, you have a band.
Well, yeah, and the band is me, and I struggle with that. I've had bands before, the Pop Tones. We played a few shows around town, and we started doing some recording, and then for one reason or another, the band falls apart, and then I'm the one that I can depend on all the
right.
time. So
that's the way it is. So do you do covers as well?
I do covers as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have to do covers, I think.
Like what kind of covers do you do?
Oh, I'll do some Beatles and some Springsteen and some Steely Dan and some...
Some Steely Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like...
Like... Going to drop D tuning.
Yeah, drop it down.
In the morning you go gunning for the man who stole your water, and you fight till he is done in, but they catch you at the border. Now the mourners are all singing as they drag you by your feet, but the hangman isn't hanging, and they put you on the street. Yeah, you go back, check, do it again. We'll turn it round and round. Go back, Jack, do it again.
I was hoping we would jam.
Oh, yeah, why not?
So something like that.
I love that.
Thank you.
I love that. So do you Do you stay within that pop genre?
What I do is I play songs, anything I can do solo with an acoustic guitar.
Any country tunes?
A few. I'm not a big country fan. I'm more of an alt country fan.
Okay.
Not the bro country fan that's popular now. But I like.
So you like true country? Because that's what it used to be.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Like
you Johnny Cash. You do a little bit of crazy and that sort of thing?
No, but that's a good idea.
You hear a little bit of that. You know that?
Oh, I don't know that song.
Oh, you don't know that?
I have three rules about requests, because when you're standing there with a guitar, you get requests. And my rule number one is, if I know it, I'll play it. And
yeah.
I say this speech every show. Rule number two is, if I used to know it, I played it years ago, I've heard it on the radio, I'll try it.
Yeah.
It might fall apart.
Yeah.
I warn everybody. And if rule number three is, if I don't know it, I can't play it.
Why not have them to come up and play it and sing
I've done
it?
That.
Have I've, you?
Oh, yeah.
Scary, isn't it?
I was playing at Tanzenwald Brewing, and I can't remember what song. Oh, it was an Elvis tune. A woman asked me to play Are You Lonesome Tonight? I could play it on guitar, but I don't know all the words. And I said, can you sing it? She said, yeah. So she came up, and she sang it. I got a video of it that I haven't edited yet, but I'm going to put it up on the site sometime.
And, was it a great chemistry?
It was good. Yeah, it was fun. And the audience loves that.
Yeah.
You know, the audience loves to break down the barrier between the performer.
That's important.
You know?
Yeah. No matter how big that barrier is. You know, sometimes you're on stages where you've got feet between you and the audience.
Right.
You know? And you want to make sure that they feel as though a place that holds 2,000 people feels like it only holds 200.
That is a trick, isn't it?
It is really a trick.
I don't know how people like Bruce Springsteen do things like that, where they've got a huge audience, but you feel like you're right there with them.
Yeah, I feel like they're right, yeah.
That's a gift.
So when can you say you have performed and you felt something really special about that moment?
Oh, boy, you ask hard questions. Let's see. You know, when you're in the moment, when the audience is with you, when you know they're having fun, that's really the most important thing. When you know they're enjoying it, then I can have more fun with it. And sometimes the key to that is having fun yourself first.
So that's the motive?
Yeah. Well, that's part of it. You know, I want them to have fun, but I think it's easier to bring them along if I'm having fun.
So, and the reason I ask you that, because of what you do by day, right? So if you, by day, you're working and you're with sports, right?
Yeah,
right?
That's the thing about my day job is really a night job. So
it's really a night job.
Because,
But when you leave all of that behind and you get on that stage and you get to sing these songs, whether it's covers or they're originals, do you come alive?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
You do, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, that's what musicians do. All of a sudden, we do it because we have to do it.
Yeah.
It's not because, oh, this is just a thing I do and I'm going to go out and sing a couple of songs. If you've been doing this since 1980, you do it because you have to do it.
Yeah. I think that must be true.
Are you
I'm
married?
Guilty. Yes.
With children?
Yes.
And would you wish your children would be a part of this business, or are they a part of the business?
Neither one of my kids are. Well, I got my son is really musically talented. He can he can teach himself to play things on keyboards. My daughter is she's a world class knitter. She's the best knitter in the world, and that's her art, and she loves it. And she's that way. The way she is about knitting, that's the way I'm about music.
And what about your wife? Does she perform?
No, she's a teacher, and she's a hard one of the hardest working people I know.
God bless her.
And yes, it's a tough job. Nobody knows how tough it is.
Well, I am in awe of anyone who can stand in front of a crowd and just play a guitar by themselves and sing. That is a hard thing to do. It's like a comedian, you know, who comes out and people say, "You better make me laugh."
It sounds like it'd be harder.
Yeah, that's a lot harder than what we do. But for you to stand out there and do that, you know, I don't play any instrument. I used to be a flautist, whatever you call it, but. No. So, you know, I sing, and sometimes I sing a cappella, and it's still really hard.
Oh.
But I love to do
but
it.
You sound so,
I just
great.
Keep.
You're so amazing.
Well, thank you. And I'm loving you, dude.
Well, thank you.
So if people want to catch you, I want to give these dates again. We want to let you know Friday, August 25th, this coming Friday. Well, let's start with the 24th.
Yeah.
Thursday the 24th, Minnehaha Falls Park, which is a great park, by the way. It's
just
so beautiful out there. That's at 7 p.m. He'll hit the stage. On Friday at the Minnesota State Fair, he will be at French Crepe's stage on Nelson and Carnes.
Yes.
Right? And that starts at 3 p.m. Saturday, August 26th at Tanzenwald Brewery in Northfield, Minnesota.
Great place.
At 8 p.m. Yes. 8 p.m. in Northfield, Minnesota. Monday, August 28th at the Minnesota State Fair back there, the French Crepes stage again. And also Monday, September 4th at the French Crepes stage as well at 3 p.m. If people want more information, where do they go to find you?
JimPellinger.com.
JimPellinger.com. What a pleasure. What a pleasure
to
have you here.
Great to talk to you.
Really appreciate it. All right, you guys, want to let you know it is now 9:48 here in studio. It is time to talk a little bit about Cadillacs. Certified Cadillacs on sale up to 40% off the original MSRP. Check out McCarthyAuto.com today. Currently at 75 degrees.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is now 9:50 here at WCCO, and my final guest tonight is a woman named Gasong V. Hugh. Do you know of her? She is a St. Paul-based actor, vocalist, musician, playwright, and teaching artist. Wow, she's busy. As an actor, Gasong has worked with Mu Performing Arts. You guys know we love Mu Performing Arts here on Center Stage. And she is putting on a special event next Friday called A Refugee and Her Daughter Perform the World's First Traditional Hmong Folk Concert. Now, no one has ever done this before. And by having this concert, people will learn about Kasi'a and better understand the Hmong culture. Gasong, welcome to WCCO.
Hi, Geraldine. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, now, am I pronouncing your first name correctly?
Gasong, yep.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Okay, so I lived over in Frogtown, my first house. We lived in Frogtown for a long time, and I watched, the immigrants of the Hmong community start to grow in the Twin Cities, and it was a beautiful thing in St. Paul. And to know that they existed, you know, the African-Americans, the whites, the Jews in that community, as they were coming through, we knew they were there. We knew that the Hmong community existed in Frogtown, but we never, at least I know my neighbors and I never really got to know the Hmong community. We didn't have any that lived in our block or even in a radius of one or two blocks. And so that's been a real challenge. Can you tell me what it's like now? Because I think we have the largest Hmong community in the country here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, in the U.S., Minnesota does hold I'm pretty sure Minnesota holds a large population of Hmong people. And then maybe some competition with California as well.
Yeah, some competition with California as well. So for you to present a piece like this, tell me why this was important for you to do.
Definitely. So as a Hmong American woman, I feel like it's extremely important that we are given the opportunity to tell our own stories and to have the space to celebrate the arts and the culture that's such a pivotal part of who we are as a people and a culture. But more specifically, living and growing up, I also grew up in Frogtown as well. And as I grew up, you know, I didn't really have those role models that, you know, maybe my peers had. I didn't see anybody on TV. I didn't have anybody on the radio or in movies. And so through my journey as an artist, I really have embraced my identity as a Hmong American woman and the arts that make my culture, my people so special, like Kitsia, which we are going to put up in the concert. So
what can people expect? When I was living in St. Paul, you know, the Hmong community was just everywhere. You guys were performing and really trying to make sure that we were culturally intelligent, that we knew exactly, you know, where you came from, have some history. We knew the dance and the clothes and that sort of thing. And so we were, you know, engaged in the Hmong community, trying to learn as much as we could. Are you doing this particular presentation? Has it fallen off where people are not learning as much about the Hmong community as they used to?
I believe that people are still learning and growing up as a Hmong community every single day, you know, because Hmong people, we are refugees and historically we are displaced people. So we don't have a country to call our own. And so the reason why we've been able to have these conversations and to have the community members like yourself learn about the Hmong people is because you guys are willing to listen and willing to learn. And Kitsia is one of those art forms that, as we become more assimilated in the U.S., people are just, it just doesn't resonate with people anymore, specifically because we use a special language mm-hmm. when we are performing the art form. And so this language is like Elizabethan English. Not very many people know it or understand it. You might be familiar with it, but most likely you've never heard of it. And so that's some of the reasons why people are not really learning Kutia anymore. But mm-hmm. I do believe that with this concert, people are going to have a really deep appreciation and fondness for this art form, just as much as I do.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot on your plate. And are you engaging the community? Are they working with you as you're getting the news out about your heritage?
Definitely. You know, I always believe that, you know, my community is going to show up, whether it be the Hmong community or the Minnesotan community. I think that we have a really special home here in Minnesota where everybody is just extremely supportive of the arts in general. And so, you know, I've been getting some coverage, and I have my promotion video, which is floating on Facebook, and over 7,000 people have already engaged with it, which is just mind-blowing because...
Did you say 20,000?
Oh, no, 7,000.
Wow, 7,000. That's really impressive.
Yes. I'm happy because the concert itself only seats about 250 people. So if 7,000 people want to come to the concert... We'll make room.
Okay, so tell us where they can get tickets or how they can find out how to attend.
Yes, definitely. So the show is going to be at the Paul Wellstone Center in West 19th Hall, and the show is completely free. For me, it was really important that I share this experience with everybody. I wanted to make it as accessible as possible, so I chose a community space that has lots of available parking. I wanted the show to be free. I wanted everybody to have the ability to come see the show and to not have those typical barriers.
Okay, so if people want information, can they go to your website or where do they go?
They can go to my website at www.gaosongdehue.com, or you can also go on Facebook and look up Flourish, the Renaissance of Hmong Flower Singing in Town.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I sure appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Have a good night.
All right, that is GAOSONGVHEU.com. We'll be back in a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.